One night in 1917, UW physics professor Earl M. Terry hosted a party. He treated his guests to the first scheduled audio broadcast from radio station 9XM. But not many of them could see the point. Why bother with radio, they said, when you could listen to the same piece of music on the living room phonograph? Before long, though, they were gathered around the glow of their radios as 9XM, rechristened WHA, fulfilling the Wisconsin idea, taught them how to make music, how to paint, and how to stretch their imaginations when they entered the theater of the mind that was radio drama. From studios bustling with activity, they heard Willard Waterman, who would become the great Gildersleeve, Harry Elders, who went on to star in Curtain Time and The First Nighter, and a young actor named Carl Schmidt, who more than 70 years later is still going strong on Chapter a Day. And the tradition continues as the 9XM players step into the picture to bring you tonight's entertainment. And now, live from Music Hall at the UW-Madison, the 9XM players bring you two plays with a light supernatural touch. The inspiration for our first play comes from a short story by Lord Dunsany and passed through many hands before it became a 1944 film, and it was on Lux Radio Theater that same year. On October 9th, 1946, it turned up on Academy Award Theater, and we've dusted it off and shined it up, and we bring it to you as the first of our two offerings tonight. The 9XM players in It Happened Tomorrow.
This is the story of something that couldn't happen, but did. It happened to a nice guy who was young and carefree. His name was Larry, and he was a newspaper reporter.
Nobody believes my story, and I don't care if they don't. All I know is it happened to me, it happened tomorrow, and I'm still alive to tell about it. It all began one night when we were horsing around in the city room of the newspaper where I work.
You guys...
Be careful, Larry. You're not a full-fledged reporter yet. And if Mr. Gordon sees you drinking beer with the boys, he might change his mind about giving you a break.
Ah, forget about it, Pop. I'm going to sleep right now on top of these old newspapers of yours.
You're lying right in the middle of 1902.
Good place to sleep, Pop, on a bed of ancient news.
You be careful. I've been taking care of these files for 60 years.
Nothing is as bad as yesterday's newspapers, Pop.
Oh, well, you got no imagination. News is what happens. What's the difference if it happened 50 years ago or tomorrow?
You mean will happen tomorrow.
No. Time is an illusion. Look here. March 1908. To the people then, this was the future. Yeah. But suppose we were all living in that day in 1908 and I arrived with this newspaper. I could tell you everything that would happen.
Bring me one for the year we're living in now, Pop. You can name your price. That's what I want. Tomorrow's newspaper. How much?
Oh, no, Larry. Don't ever ask for a thing like that.
If I could find where to get tomorrow's paper, oh, I'd give 10 years of my life for it.
How do you know you have 10 years?
Me? You're kidding. I'm just about ready to sow my first wild oat.
Well, if you're gonna sow, you're gonna sow. We're just about out of beer, and I got tickets for the show.
What's playing?
Oh, the great Professor Cigolini. He sees the things of the past, present, and future.
Okay. Coming along, Pop?
No. I haven't time.
Well, good night, then. See you tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
I forgot about Pop and his newspaper tomorrow and went to go see the professor. He was terrific, but the girl who worked with him in the act was tremendous.
And now, my friend, do you know the number that is engraved inside your watch?
No, Professor.
Ah, but Miss Sylvia knows. Miss Sylvia, what is the number on the watch?
2, 7, 9. Oh, I can't.
You can. I compel you.
7, 5, 94.
Is that correct, sir?
Yeah, Professor. Oh, my God. I didn't know that number myself.
And now, ladies and gentlemen.
Professor, I have a question, Professor. It's personal. It concerns a young lady.
And do you know, want to know if she will have the misfortune to marry you? Is that it?
All I want to know is if she's going to have lunch with me tomorrow. Will she come?
Fine. Mrs. Sylvia, one final question. Can you hear me, Mrs. Sylvia? The gentleman would like to know if the girl he loves will have lunch with him tomorrow.
Yes, she will.
Well, thank you, Miss Sylvia. Now, will you please tell
me... No more questions. Mrs. Sylvia is in a trance, sir. You will have to speak to that young lady you love yourself.
I'd like to, but she can't hear me.
You mean the young lady you love is deaf?
No, Professor. She's in a trance. And that's the way the girl came into my life. And it won't hurt the story to tell you that she's married to me now and always will be. Well, I waited for her after the show, and in spite of her uncle, I took her home in a cab. After I dropped her off, I was walking home in a fog as thick as a good stew. My head was in the clouds anyway, so it didn't matter. But then, I heard a familiar voice.
Larry.
Who is it? Oh, it's you, Pop. I can't see you very well. Hey, what are you doing out so late?
Didn't I tell you time doesn't exist? I was waiting for you, Larry.
For me? But I didn't tell you I was coming back. I'm just on my way home.
Huh. So am I. But I wanted to give you this first.
Huh? It's a copy of the evening news. I already read it.
Maybe not.
You better go home and sleep it off, Pop.
I never felt so well in my life. Good night, Larry.
Wait. I'll take you home.
Oh. No, thanks, my boy. We go different ways.
Okay.
Don't lose that paper, son. Don't lose it.
I thought he was a little tipsy, and I stuffed the paper in my pocket and went home and slept like a rock. But the next morning, when I came downstairs at the boarding house, a guy called Joe said,
"Hey, Larry, I'm still looking for a job. Can I see your paper?"
Yeah, this one's last night's.
Oh, I don't mind. It's the ads I'm after. Wait, this isn't last night's. It's today's.
No, Joe. Today's evening news hasn't even gone to press yet. Must be last night.
What day is today?
Wednesday.
But this says Wednesday.
What's all this Wednesday? They must have made a mistake. What do you know? It says it's going to snow. Well, it didn't it snow yesterday? Did it?
Hey, look out the window. It's snowing. Who had ever heard of snow in May?
I don't get it.
Hey, here's something in the ads. They need a waiter at Beacon and Fifth. Guess I'll get right over there.
Hey, wait for me.
I tell you, we don't need any waiters.
But this paper says
we don't need any waiters, understand?
Then why waste people's time by putting ads in the paper?
Probably got the wrong address.
Now, wait a minute. Here it is. You said you didn't put an ad in this paper for a waiter?
No, we did not. I tell you, we don't need a new waiter.
Get out, Butterfingers. This is the last dish you break here. Hey, Maisie.
Yes, boss?
Get your hat on. Take a dollar from the till. Put an ad in the paper for a waiter right away. Well, what are you staring at me for?
In the morning paper?
No. Put it in the evening news.
No.
What do you want?
Nothing. I'm just going down to the evening news myself. Mr. Gordon, I've got to find Pop. Something's happened that I don't understand.
I'll tell you what's going to happen if you're late again.
Mr. Gordon, who's covering the Melba concert at the Opera House?
Now, don't tell me you want to be a music critic.
But if something happens there, front page story. The biggest news story of the day. I gotta be there before it happens.
Are you crazy or drunk?
Look, I'm gonna show you something that will change your mind.
You're fired.
You can't fire me. I quit.
You quit?
I mean, I'll quit tonight if you haven't given me a raise.
A raise?
Yes, sir. For the biggest news story of the day. Set up a four-column space right now. Bandits steal cash at Hopper House while Madame Melba sings at 2:10.
I'm here for lunch, Mr. Stevens, but I really came to explain that my uncle is very angry and I won't be able to have lunch with you after all.
Sylvia, come on. We're going to the Melba concert. Something's going to happen at the Opera House. We haven't got much time to get there. Come with me.
What's going to happen?
Well, I'll tell you on the way over. It's my big chance.
Here you are, sir. 2:00.
What time is it, please?
2:05. Overture has just started, sir.
Oh, we're late.
Oh, no. We're a few minutes early. Say, I bet you a pair of tickets I can guess how much you've taken in. $3,675.
Oh, no, you'd lose, my friend. It's $3,670 even.
Oh, I guess I have to buy that pair. How much?
$2.50 apiece. $5.
All right, fine. That makes it right. $3,675. Come with me, Sylvia.
Hey! What's going on around here? How do you know so much?
Tickets, please.
We'll stay it here.
That's not really allowed, sir.
We're leaving in a few minutes.
But, Mr. Stevens, I don't want to leave in a few minutes.
The show will be over.
You mean Madame Melba?
No, the show's not out here. It's not on the stage. It's in the lobby.
What's going to happen?
A holdup.
What kind of story is that?
A cab will stop out front, and 3 men will get out, and nobody will know who they are. They'll pretend to ask for tickets, and then 1 man take out a pistol and shoot. All right, I'll shh. Would you just wait? I told you so. It happened. I'm going to be famous. I know what's going to happen tomorrow. Well, that's the way it was. Somehow those papers of Pop's kept getting into my overcoat pocket. Pop hadn't been back at the office since the night the whole thing started. But the papers of tomorrow kept on coming up. And all I had to do was read them, copy the story out, give it to the city editor, and then go where it happened and phone it in. I got my raises, I got famous, I got my girl, too. But then I got an idea, a brilliant idea, too brilliant.
Ah, there you are.
Mr. Gordon, can I get an advance of $100?
Why, certainly, Stevens. Of course.
I have some plans.
Oh? Not thinking of getting married, are you?
Why not?
Why, I can't understand why you have to borrow this money. After all, you seem to be able to tell what will happen before it happens. And if you wanted to, you could present your wife with $1,000,000.
Yeah, well, how?
Mind you, of course I'm not an addict myself, but with your superior endowment, I might be tempted to pick all 5 winners at the racetrack tomorrow.
Yeah, of course. What did you say? Hey, where's Pop? Anybody see Pop? I gotta find Pop. I gotta find him.
Why, Larry, you're still here? Not hanging around waiting for Pop, are you?
What if he doesn't show up?
Well, he's been here so long, he's a privileged character. He's got a right to be drunk every once in a while. Not often.
Drunk or sober, he's got to be somewhere.
If I were you, I'd turn out that light and go home. Good night.
Good night. Pop? Pop?
Yes, Larry?
Oh, Pop, I've been hunting high and low for you. Oh, come on, don't look at me like that. I didn't thank you because I haven't seen you since. But I'm not going to ask you a lot of questions about how you do it. I'm mixed up in something I don't understand. But look, all I want is just one more paper. Then I'll call it quits.
No.
Oh, please, Pop, please. For the last time, I'll never ask you again. I'll never tell anybody how I got it. I just want to know what's going to happen tomorrow.
It won't do you any good, Larry.
Oh, but it will. It can make me rich. Then I can have anything I want in the world.
Is it only money that you want in the world?
Oh, no. I've got everything else. I'm in love. Give me that paper, please. Give it to me. I'll be the happiest guy for the rest of my life.
Are you sure, Larry?
Yes! Yes! Thank you. Thank you for giving it to me.
Oh, you grabbed it. Remember, Larry, I didn't give it to you.
Come to think of it, he didn't give me the paper. And if I knew what was in that paper, well, anyway, I rushed right out to Sylvia, and we decided to get married the next morning and spend the afternoon at the racetrack, making our fortune. I could hardly sleep a wink that night and sat up marking the 5 winners from Pop's paper. Let's see, Lighter in the first, in the second. Oh, boy. Berta, that's what it is. Wait, what's this? What's this? Larry Stevens, evening news reporter. Shot to death in the lobby at the St. George Hotel at 6:25 today, just after the evening news had gone to press. Mr. Larry Stevens, its most valued reporter, sacrificed his life heroically in the line of duty. No! No! No!
I now pronounce you man and wife, and may God bless your union. Congratulations, Mr. Stevens. I'm glad to see you so seriously married. It's a serious business, meant to last a lifetime.
Thank you, Judge.
I wish you years of health and happiness, and all your troubles be little ones. That will be $5.
Say, can you draw up a will?
Your will?
Yes, sir. I want to leave everything I have to my wife. Kiss me, darling. You may not have me so long. All right. We better hurry up. We have to make it to the first race.
L- Look, my friend, you've won the first three races, and now you want to bet this whole $10,000 on Ramona?
That's right, to win.
I'm afraid that will have to be an even money bet, mister.
I can get 4-1 in another 10.
You're a good customer. How about 3-1?
3-1? Okay.
Why, you'll win $30,000 if Ramona wins.
Yes, I know.
Oh, please don't talk like that. This is a lot of money to bet on a horse, mister. I can't give you more than 2-1 on Black Flash.
Okay.
$30,000 to win on Black Flash.
Don't you think we should put at least half the money on some other horse?
No, no, it's Black Flash.
Hey, Shep, come here. Now, I've been in this business a long time, but I've never heard of anyone picking 4 sure things in a row.
Not without them having things fixed. I'm gonna do a little fixing myself, Jake. Diablo's gonna win this race if he never runs another race.
And they're off. It's a go. Black Flash is starting up on the inside. Diablo is coming up. Now neck and neck. Now Black Flash is in the lead. Black Flash by a length with Diablo right on his heels, trailing him around the turn. Turn. Black Flash and Diablo are neck and neck, and it's either one. Take your pick as they approach the home stretch. 200 yards to go. It's horse against horse, both of them driving. Wait, wait. Diablo surges ahead by a half. Now Diablo leads by a length. Diablo by a length and a half. Diablo is the winner by 2 lengths. Diablo, the winner.
Darling, Sylvia, darling, the paper was wrong. Oh, brother, was it wrong? I've got a chance to live.
A chance to live? What are you talking about?
It says Black Flash wins and Diablo just won.
Yahoo!
Ladies and gentlemen, your attention, please. The judges have the following official announcement to make. In the race, which has just been run, number 7, Diablo, has been disqualified.
No!
Oh, how wonderful, Larry! Wonderful! It was right all along. $60,000.
You'll be a wealthy widow, darling. I'm very happy.
So the paper said you died today?
Yes, in the line of duty. Here, you take the bag with my wallet and the $60,000 while I hail a cab.
Oh, no, I'd be afraid to carry that much money.
No, you keep it. It will be safer. No,
I might lose it.
What about me? Keep it, please.
No, Larry, take it.
No, you take it.
No, well, somebody has to take it.
I'll take that bag, thanks.
Yes, that's right, you take it. Wait, no, wait, come back here. Please, stop that man, stop, thief, wait.
Well, wait, Larry, he's got a gun.
Oh, well. Easy come, easy go. At least we don't have to go to the St. George Hotel. Or do we?
I don't think we have a choice, dear. It said so in tomorrow's paper. That's where you're supposed to make me a widow.
again, Stevens. I'll give you just one more chance. I've got an assignment for you. I've got a tip something big is going to break. Wait till I get the address.
Never mind, Mr. Gordon. I know it.
What? Where?
St. George Hotel.
St. George Hotel? Nah, that isn't it. Now, here it is. The other side of town.
You mean you're not sending me to the St. George Hotel?
No, I'm not. Now, get out of here.
You bet.
Stevens.
Yes, Mr. Gordon?
Changed my mind. Forget that assignment. I've got another. You're going to the St. George Hotel.
Oh, what for?
You can't fool me. When you say something big is going to happen someplace, boy, it happens.
Me and my big mouth.
Good luck. I'll start setting up a headline right now.
Goodbye, Mr. Gordon. Goodbye forever. What time is it, darling?
5:20.
5 more minutes. 5 minutes. I wonder how it's going to happen. I wonder if I'll feel the pain.
Larry? Larry? They're coming across the lobby. The man that stole the money.
Hey, that's the fella. Hey, stop! Thief! I'll get him this time.
Larry, no, stop! But look out, he's still got the gun!
Gordon, evening news. What? What's that? Stevens. Yes, I sent Stevens to the St. George myself just a few minutes ago. Nah, he was on duty. That man is a hero. He knew something big was going to break there at the St. George. Hold the presses. We're going to get out an extra. Take this down. Larry Stevens, evening news reporter. Shot to death in the lobby of the St. George Hotel at 6:25 today. He sacrificed his life heroically in the line of duty. Where's my hat? I've got to get down there.
All right, stand back there. Keep back now.
Oh, my chin. What happened, officer?
Nothing. Nothing. Some news reporter guy got killed, that's all.
What's his name?
I don't know. Larry something, Stevens. Now go on, get going.
Did you say Stevens?
Stevens! You! Alive!
Oh, Mr. Gordon, am I glad to see you. I don't get it, though. I'm supposed to be... Mr. Gordon, where's Pop?
Pop died a week ago.
Died a week ago?
Yes, and Stevens... You're fired! 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 After me adding an extra with your obit, building you up as a hero for the evening news, what do? You cross me and walk around as healthy as a pig.
But I had no idea.
You get away from me. Wait a minute. If you're not dead, who is this guy, officer? How did you identify this man?
His wallet, Mr. Gordon. Here, see? Says Larry Stevens, Evening News.
That's my wallet. The man who stole it at the racetrack. I get it now. I was chasing him, and the cops got there first. When he ran around the corner, boom, they shot him. Found my wallet. They thought he was me. See? Now I'm not dead. I'm alive. Sylvia, honey baby, congratulations. You are not a widow.
Oh, Larry, darling, what a night.
Yeah.
I'm happy I'm not a widow.
Yeah, me too.
What are you looking so wistful to the sky for?
I was just looking to see whether Pop was looking down on me with that funny look on his face.
Are you sorry Pop gave you those papers?
Nope.
Some wedding night. We haven't even got cab fare.
I know it.
And you know something else? I'm glad that poor guy did something with my money instead of leaving it in the wallet. I got something better.
What?
You. The future. And I'm not going to worry about what the future looks like. I'm just going to take it as it comes.
I guess Pop is trying to teach you a lesson, Larry.
Yeah. I guess he was, and he did. You know, I think I can almost see him up there now, looking down on me. He's smiling. So long, Pop. Thanks a lot. Come on, honey.
You've been listening to the old-time radio drama Silver Jubilee, presenting the 9XM Players, coming to you live from Music Hall at the UW-Madison in It Happened Tomorrow. We'll be back with tonight's second feature in a moment, but first... You know, one of the most cherished traditions is the family silver. Of course, all that fussy-looking silverware from Grandma's time will hardly do for today's modern household. It's time to start a tradition of your own with Hoople Brothers Flatware. Hoople Brothers Flatware is made from a patented alloy of metals that withstands corrosion and tarnishing and occasional washing. We asked real housewives from all over the country to try Hoople Brothers Flatware. Let's listen in on what they have to say.
It's a little heavy.
You can tell its quality by the sheer weight of it.
I'll practically need a forklift just to set the table.
That's because it's crafted from genuine U.S. military surplus parts, made right here in the U.S. at a factory in Los Alamos, New Mexico.
Wait! Los Alamos, New Mexico?
Mexico! Olé! Mucho qualitato.
And its strong, simple lines will never go out of fashion.
Look at this fork!
Where are the tines?
Well, that's just one less place for messy food to hide. That'll make cleanup a snap.
Plus, it'll save you money. You'll never have to replace lost cutlery because Hoople Brothers glows in the dark. Don't forget always to wear gloves when handling your cutlery. And in this time of quality meat shortages, if your Hoople Brothers flatware should happen to break, remember, it's not the fork, it's the steak.
Look! Her fingers are turning green!
You're listening to the 9XM Players in Supernatural, an old-time radio event coming to you live from Old Music Hall on the UW-Madison campus. This is Wisconsin Public Radio.